You're listening to episode 282 of Women Worldwide. Have you ever faced a roadblock in your life that completely changes your perspective? One that shifts your focus and your purpose? Well, I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you for tuning in, for showing up, and for being here today. We really appreciate that you're taking the time to share and to really help this network grow. Now, I want to jump right into the topic today and the special guest because it's all about navigating the unexpected. And certainly we are navigating unexpected. But this type of navigating things that you don't expect can really change your perspective, your focus, your purpose. And especially when it's, what are those tougher obstacles? Maybe you can call it a bump in the road. That's actually the name of my guest's podcast. Joining me on the show today is Pat Wetzel. And Pat is an award-winning author. She's a photographer. As I mentioned, she's a podcaster. And she's also the visionary behind Cancer Road Trip. There's a lot that I could say about Pat, but I'd like to welcome her to the show so you can hear her journey and her advice. Pat, it's great to have you on Women Worldwide. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you certainly have an interesting background. I didn't mention this, but I think were you in finance before you sort of shifted, you received a diagnosis, and then everything changed in your life?
A million years ago, I graduated from Wharton Business School, which opened up some interesting doors and opportunities. And it's interesting, as a kid, everybody thought I would write. And, you know, writing's part of finance in a way, but I wasn't focused on it. And now I find it interesting that fast forward several decades, I'm doing what I originally thought I would do and enjoying it very much.
Oh, that's so good. So tell us a little bit about creating Cancer Road Trip and the vision behind that.
Well, in a way, it was accidental. I'd started a website after my cancer diagnosis called Anti-Cancer Club. And in conjunction with that, I had designed a technology platform that modeled and rewarded human compassion, particularly through long-term illness. And this was just part of my heart and my soul. I went down to Silicon Valley to raise money for it, got some interest. I had to put together a beta platform, you know, to get some data. And I hired a company to do that. We signed contracts, the lawyers looked them over, et cetera, et cetera. And I turned over everything I had to build this platform. And I waited. And I waited. And I called. And I emailed. And there was no response for months. They had taken all my intellectual property, registered it with the U.S. Patent Office as their own, and then refused to talk to me. So my lawyer said, your only option really is to sue them. It will cost you in increments of $500,000. It will take 3 years of your life, and there's no guaranteed outcome because intellectual property theft is apparently rampant. So I had tens of thousands of dollars of business bills to pay. I had to lay off people. One person had to file for bankruptcy. It was a nightmare. It was beyond a nightmare. And in the midst of all this, my hair started falling out from stress, not from chemo this time. And I started vomiting blood. So I went to my oncologist. Oh, I was really sick.
Yeah.
So I went to my oncologist and he wanted to run a ton of tests. And he thought of four different types of cancer it could be. And it could be a recurrence, could be this and that. And I left that office and I just could not deal with one more thing. So I put my house up. I never went back to the doctor's office. I put my house up for sale. I put everything in storage and I hit the road. I had no idea where I would go or what I would do. And I started the blog Cancer Road Trip. And somewhere along the way, it occurred to me that if I could have a cancer road trip to heal, why couldn't others? And that was really the genesis of the whole idea.
That is amazing. So you left the doctors. You didn't think about anything that they shared or what they probably wanted you to do. And do you think that by hitting the road, is it travel itself that helped you? What is it about moving away from medicine and, you know, traditional medicine into something different that you feel changed your life?
Well, you know, really, when I started Cancer Road Trip, I didn't know if I'd be alive in 15 or 20 months. And part of it was just an absolute, I just am walking away from everything. I don't know what's going to happen. But throughout all my cancer treatment, I always used a variety of more holistic, complementary approaches like acupuncture and things along that line. But with travel, I think the thing about travel is it gives you perspective. And it opens adventure. But I often liken travel to, imagine you're living on a plane and all you know is this two-dimensional plane. And then you travel and boom, now you have a new data point. And this new data point, oh my gosh, the world is not flat. You have a totally different perspective of things. And the more data points you have, the more perspective you gain. And I think that opening your world to new perspectives, new knowledge, new ideas is just critical to living an interesting life, certainly, but to living a more conscious life.
As you were gathering more of these data points and traveling to different places and surely becoming more conscious about your life, did you notice the physical changes? Did anything physically happen to you, or was it just your mind felt better? What kind of change did you experience?
Oh, interesting question. I think for me, health, if you will, and healing, it has been a continuum that's been over a decade now. I think that the biggest thing with travel is it gave me an opportunity to reconnect with my sense of adventure. Mm. And I love that sense. I've come to see life as a road trip. No surprise there, right?
Right.
But I love the sense that you don't know what's going to happen. And I think that traveling, you're more open to opportunity than you may be in your daily life. I mean, opportunity is always there. But there's something about being in a new and different environment, I think, that really encourages, you know, sensible risk-taking, if you will.
Wow. So were you doing this all on your own, or did you know when you planned your itinerary, if you were planning, were you visiting with people in different regions or just selecting places that were on some kind of a bucket list?
Primarily on my own, but there were just different things that came up. For example, I got invited to NASA's finale party for the Cassini, which was just amazing. I didn't expect anything like that. And so that meant I had to go down to California to go to that. And, you know, I kind of rolled with things. One of the things that happens, as you know, when you sell a house, you have to wait until it closes. It is not a done deal, which to some extent limits your ability to plan. So I had a combination of I snagged a house from a friend for a little while. I house sat a number of times. I stayed in Airbnbs and hotels, a whole variety of different housing options.
Wow. And did you get any outside resistance? Because I know when you make a decision, you're sure and you're going to move forward. But there's friends, there's family, of course, and they're loving and they care. And they might want to give their opinion on what you're doing. So how much resistance did you face as you set out?
Really, almost none. And the reason is, going through cancer, your social networks rearrange themselves. You lose a lot of friends. You discover some new ones. But I found myself quite on my own. And that offered me the freedom, really, to do a lot of things.
Wow. So you took this cancer road trip, and I'm thinking you're a photographer also, so you're probably taking a lot of photos. That then turned into your online site, which, were there any other directions that you didn't expect with Cancer Road Trip?
photography. I did not expect that. I always played a lot of sports. And as a result of all the cancer treatments, I can't play the sports I used to play. So I had this huge hole in my life. And I bought a Nikon camera before I took off thinking, oh, I'll take some pictures. And I stared at it for months. I mean, it had dials and data, and I didn't know what to do with any of it. And then one day on the beach, I took a picture. And it's not a great picture, but for where I was at that point in time, it was a good picture. It was a picture of this Sanderling walking the beach, and it had great bokeh in the background and everything. And, you know, I just had this little kit lens. It wasn't anything to write home about. And I thought, huh, that's kind of a good picture. And that kind of set me on a quest for education and more information. I got really hooked on photography. Then last year, and I took some classes both, I'm in Santa Fe now. I took some classes here in Santa Fe and also online. And last year, I met Christy Odom, and she's a Nikon ambassador. She has worked in the Smithsonian. She's a remarkable photographer. And she said, do you want to go to Africa?
Oh, my God.
I thought, sure, let's go to Africa. Why not? So that has opened
up just a twist.
An incredible doorway in terms of photographic learning. Part of my going to Africa with her is a mentorship with her. And I'm just learning so much. It's just been an unexpected passion and godsend, and a continual learning experience, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, that's amazing. So what do you think, was there anyone or anything that also inspired you or really influenced you as a part of this journey?
You know, I have a need for some adventure. Now, you can find adventure in your backyard, but I kind of like it to be a little more far-flung than that. And I've learned through COVID-19, actually, how important that is to me. It is one of the fundamental things that makes me up. And I realize that in terms of moving through life and being true to myself, that is something that I need to have in my life.
Absolutely. On the note of COVID-19, what would you say to people who are also, you know, adventurous like you, who want to travel and do different things? You know, what kind of mindset can you keep so that you can still be happy and find joy, even if you're not jumping on a plane or flying to Africa and doing all of these wonderful adventures?
I think you have to really dig deep in some cases, because this has upset all of our social networks and whatnot. But I think you can find adventure. One of the things I did is I bought a macro lens. And a macro lens allows you to photograph things like bugs and flowers and whatnot really close up with great resolution. So that has been an adventure within, if you will, rather than my usual adventure into the world. So I think there are different ways to incorporate that into life no matter what.
Right. You have to be open and look at things and find the beauty maybe in different ways. Are there any, aha moments that you've had, or even, I'm sure there's been uh-oh moments, so striking that you maybe perhaps want to share because they've stuck with you throughout this journey?
Oh, I have to think a bit. I think rather than an abrupt aha moment, I got into the flow of things. And I was comfortable just letting the journey take me where it took me. I did not plan to come to Santa Fe. I did not plan to stay here. I came and I liked it, and I found a beautiful place to live, and I stayed. But it wasn't planned or intentional. So I think rather than an abrupt aha moment, it's been learning to go with the flow of the adventure and whatever opens in front of you.
Do you think that came from experiencing a tremendous bump in the road? I mean, just going with the flow and not planning. Can you look back and say, I used to plan a lot more and now I don't? Or is it about the same? You know, how does that look now as opposed to before?
Oh, very different. Before, I had everything planned. And there's a wonderful saying, man plans, God laughs. I've adopted that. I mean, you have to plan to some degree. You have to set goals to move forward. But I think you have to be flexible with them too, because whatever you dream up in your mind is guaranteed not to happen. And if it happens, it's so rigid, it probably isn't right.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this is all so fascinating. You know, you had mentioned before, and I want to bring this up because I find this very interesting about you too. You're also a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
What made you get your pilot's license? And when did you actually do that? What part of your journey?
The pilot thing was a midlife crisis. I was going through a divorce. This was back in the 90s, actually. And I went out to California. I was just traveling and visiting. I like to be on the road. It helps me think. And I went up to Calistoga, California. And there's an airport, or there used to be. It's not there anymore. An airport right in the middle of town, this little airstrip. And it said glider rides. And I thought, well, I'll check it out. And I showed up and they said, we don't start flying till 11. And I knew I needed to get back down to San Francisco, but I thought, I'm going to hang around. And so I went for a ride and it was neat, but it wasn't life shattering or anything. And got on the plane, went back to the East Coast, where I heard about three lawyers that were flying gliders on weekends. Ooh. So I invited myself out one weekend and flew for three straight days. It was a holiday weekend. And I was totally, absolutely hooked on soaring. So one thing led to another. It led to my buying a beautiful 15-meter plane, a racing plane.
Oh, wow.
Joining another air club that was full of really first-class pilots that went to the worlds and things like that. And that, in turn, later led to my taking my glider cross-country.
Oh, gosh, what a trip.
Yeah.
So was that a part of Cancer Road Trip, or is this all before?
Before.
So can you still fly now? I mean, I know it's COVID now, but when things get back to normal, will you fly again?
Oh, I will fly again. But right now, I'm not flying a lot. I've sold my plane, partly because you have to do this a lot and intensely to be safe. You can't just show up once a year and think that you're safe in the air. You're not.
Right.
And I have other things on my plate right now. And to some extent, my risk parameters have changed. At one point in my life, there were 15 funerals in 3 years, all pilots, all aviation accidents except for one. Yes. And I think I have used up my aviation luck, perhaps. And the idea of hanging out 1,000 feet over the desert floor, 1,000 miles from nowhere, is no longer that much fun.
Got it. So, you know, let's pivot a little bit and talk about your podcast. Mm-hmm. Because clearly you started Cancer Road Trip, and now you've extended into this podcast. Talk a little bit about why you launched your show.
Well, with COVID-19, I couldn't travel. And we had a trip planned for this fall. With Cancer Road Trip, every quarter we give 7 people an amazing bucket list trip somewhere in the world. And then we capture on film for both education for the cancer community and an inspiration. And we also repurpose it for continuing education for the medical profession. Because what happens is medicine's often very good at diagnosis and treatment, but they don't know anything about the health and healing that has to occur for years after a diagnosis. That's so great. The idea behind Cancer Road Trip is a bit of adventure, some fun, but the stories of 7 people and their aha moments in terms of where they need to go to heal against the backdrop of amazing travel. So travel was off the plate all of a sudden. We've rescheduled for 2021, and we may be going to a different location, actually. But I thought, I spent 3 weeks being totally depressed. And then all of a sudden, I thought, you know, maybe I'll do a podcast. I've wanted to do one for a while, but I thought it would be more travel-oriented. And I really thought about what is the essence of Cancer Road Trip and what I'm doing. And it really is a bump in the road. What do you do? And it fascinates me. I'm really interested in seeing how people take on adversity and what they do with it. Because I think adversity can be a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. But you have to be willing to step through it. And I know it can be very, very hard to do that. And I think by hearing the stories of other people and seeing how they manage and navigate really difficult situations, I think it can inspire others to find a more joyful, more terrifying, but more real path through life.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a real path, and you do have to step way out of your comfort zone, but you can find so much purpose and fulfillment, which is really, really important. Have you always been savvy with technology to be able to have your podcast. I think you're using Zoom. So have you always liked technology?
No, I hate it.
It's you.
When I started Anti-Cancer Club, I realized, which was, wow, that would have been back around 2011 or so. I realized that I had to get on social media. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really want to do it, but I had to do it for business. And I dragged myself kicking and screaming. I tried to find younger people who would help me understand this thing.
Right.
But what evolved was something I did not expect. I have come to really love certain aspects of it. I meet the best people from all over the world through social media, and that would never have happened if I hadn't taken that leap.
No, that's so true. I mean, social media just opens up your communities. There's no borders, no boundaries. I'm always amazed that you can be talking to somebody in China or some far off in Australia. It's wonderful. And you can learn a lot about culture and people. So I love that too. I mean, I know there's quite a few people who have kicked and screamed about social media, but you know, there's a lot of noise out there as well. I think it's just learning to filter and to really take in what you care about and what's meaningful, and certainly community and new friends and learning. That's the best of social
media. I agree. I think it can be very kind, and it's up to you to establish that. I don't allow any trolls, any political stuff. None of that is allowed on my feed. If you want to go there, that's great, but then we're not a good match.
Exactly. Yeah, you're bringing in what makes you feel good, what inspires you, and what you know, and the people you know that you want to learn from. So that's a really great point. I can't even believe we're at that point in the show where I'm going to ask you to give some parting advice to all those women worldwide listeners and viewers out there, you know, about navigating the unexpected and what they really need to do if they face that bump in the road.
Go for it. It's an opening, and it will never happen again. And it will be ugly. It will be messy. You will be lonely. You will be scared. You will make mistakes. But you will come out the other side a stronger, better person. And the key to it is, as you go through this firing, if you will, and you come out tougher on the other side, you can't let your heart get tough. And that's the balance you have to find.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. That's right. No matter how tough you are, keep that heart open and that empathy. Really, really important. Well, last question, and this is a super easy one. Where can people find out more about you and Cancer Road Trip?
www.cancerroadtrip.com. On Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest, we're at Cancer Road Trip. And on Facebook, we use my other account at Anti-Cancer Club. We have almost 50,000 people following us there. So rather than start another Facebook group, I thought Cancer Road Trip integrates right into Anti-Cancer Club. So Anti-Cancer Club on Facebook and everywhere else where Cancer Road Trip.
Excellent. Pat, thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing your journey, for being so open about what you faced and really bringing your heart and your mind to us today with your advice. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Please keep the feedback coming. We're here and we love hearing from you. So you can tweet me. I'm at Dee Breckenridge, or even email me and let me know how you're doing or where your challenges are. I'm Deirdre at pureperformancecom with 2ms.com. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay healthy, energized, and focused. Thank you.